will someone provide the administrator with a schedule? I knew he had been skipping the conference sessions. I knew that. And, I don't know how our brother John keeps up with everything he does. And, couldn't resist a little barb this morning. You folks are looking well. Some of you beautiful. A few handsome. And we make no comment about the others. For I'm in that class also, brother. Now, dear friends, let us look again to the prayer of our Lord to his Father. As he lifted up his eyes to heaven and spoke to the Father, what a blessed privilege is ours of listening in while God the Son speaks to God the Father. This prayer is in anticipation of his departure to the Father. He sees the work as completed. His death at Calvary, his resurrection out from among the dead, his ascension into glory. And we have looked briefly in these few mornings together about our protection that is assured, which you find in verses 9 through 11. Our unity, which has been secured in verses 11, 22, 21, and 22. Yesterday morning we considered the words found in verse 13, the fact that our joy has been provided. And I want us to consider this morning some truth found beginning in verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Great concern of our Lord's heart was for two things primarily. The preservation of his own, which you read in verse 15, and their sanctification, verse 17. They were to be left in the world. They were to be hated by the world. The servant is not greater than his Lord. He said, if they hated me, if the world hated me, it will hate you. Something desperately wrong, dear friends, when the Christian or the church becomes popular with the world. For we are not part of the world. He's taken us out of the world, out of a world that's headed for destruction. He's gone into the quarry of humanity, and out of that quarry he has fashioned stones and made them living stones and fitted them into that building which he's constructing. Paul speaks about it in Ephesians, an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, he does not merely leave us in the world, though not part of it. But he sends us into the world, and that to perform a particular mission. Of course, I'm sure you have disassociated your mind from the fact that these words were not alone to this little company of disciples, but to every believer. They have primary reference, of course, to the disciples, to the apostles. But they have reference also to us. For he prayed not alone for them, but for those who would believe in Him through their Word. Would you look, please, at the 10th chapter of Hebrews? And here, the writer to the Hebrews quotes from the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 40, verse 5 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." And Christ was sent into the world by the Father. I need not go into the words that are used for send in the New Testament. Two words particularly, apostello and pempo. The one that's used here is the word apostello. Both of these words, however, point to an authority beyond the sent one, or behind the sent one. An authority, a sender, beyond or behind the messenger or the sent one. And immediately as we read these words in verse 18, "As you sent me into the world," immediately we're struck with the truth of the pre-existence of our Lord. Long before His manifestation in human form. See, dear friends, I believe, and I'm sure you do also, in the eternal sonship of our Lord. That He was with the Father from before the beginning, and in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before ever He was manifested in this world, before ever the Father sent Him into the world, He was from all eternity God. He was the everlasting Son of the everlasting Father, the everlasting God. I'm sure you've noticed those verses in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Would you look there for just a moment, please? I think this is one of the glorious passages in the Old Testament. Proverbs 8 is a personification of wisdom. And when you come near to the end of the chapter, verse 30, there is someone who is speaking. I believe it is the Son of God who is speaking. Remember now, this is a personification of wisdom. And where do you find the zenith of wisdom? 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And the very zenith of wisdom is found in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And I believe that this is His voice that you hear in Proverbs 8, verse 30. And He's saying, "Then I was beside Him." Perhaps your version reads, "as one brought up with Him." I think a better translation is this: "Then I was beside Him as a master craftsman." You recall any words like that? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Son continues, and He says, "And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." Why, this is the place of the Son with the Father from all eternity past. And notice what He says. Rejoicing always before Him. Rejoicing in His inhabited world. Someone said, is there life on other planets? Well, I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. You say, well, you're just content in your ignorance. No, there's only one planet. One planet in which God concentrated his love and attention. And my delight was with the sons of men. Oh, bless God that his attention focused on the inhabited earth or world. And the son said, I rejoiced in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. And of all of this universe, God has centered his attention upon the inhabited world. And he has sent his son. And the son came not at his own charge. Look, if you will, in the 8th chapter of John. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And even as a lad, he said to Mary and to Joseph, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I heard, it's been some years ago, one night I slipped into an evangelistic meeting and I heard the evangelist describe an imaginary scene in heaven. A scene that he said took place after man and woman had sinned. And there went out a cry through heaven for a volunteer that would redeem fallen man and woman, and no angel stepped forth. No created being stepped forth, and finally the Son volunteered. Oh, dear friends, you know it didn't happen that way. But in the eternal council tables of heaven, before ever man was created, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit determined the plan of redemption. And he was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. You go into eternity past and you'll find a Lamb. You go into eternity future. And a cry goes out through heaven and through earth and through the underworld for someone who is both able and worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof. No one was found, and John began to weep, and the angel said, weep not, behold, look. And he looked, and it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he saw him as a lamb that had been slain. Our Lord came not as his own charge, but at the Father's direction. And in the fullness of time, Paul writes in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, or when the time was full, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And our Lord was not only sent, he was commissioned. And this is the idea, the thought of the word sent here. Sent forth with a message. Sent forth on a mission. Let's just take a few moments and read some verses from the 6th chapter of John. In fact, in chapter 6, 7, and 8, this is repeated over and over again. Verse 29 of John 6. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 57. As the living Father sent me. Verse 16 in chapter 7. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Verse 18. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Verse 28. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true. Verse 29. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Verse 33. I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. And over, you find this in the gospel record. And John, writing in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 14, said, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The sent one. As the Father sent me into the world, he said. Not only sent, but qualified. In the synagogue in Nazareth, find it in Luke 4. Our Lord spoke these words. They are the words from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He was qualified by the Father. You read in the third chapter of John, verse 34, that the Father has given to him the Spirit without measure. Scribes came out from Jerusalem. They said, he's doing these miracles, these mighty works, in the power of Beelzebub, when in reality he was doing them in the power of the Holy Spirit, because God the Father had anointed him with the Spirit. Being the sent one of the Father, he was the apostle of the Father. That's where we get the word apostle, from the verb apostello. In the third chapter of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him. He came as the apostle of the Father, officially sent forth by God the Father as prophet, priest, and king. He has fulfilled his office as prophet and priest. That office continues. And one day, he will return as king. The Father has sent him. But we consider the as and the also. As the Father sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And this morning, beloved, we are his sent ones. And we dare not ignore the spirit-implanted similarity here between the one sent and the ones he is sending. One distinction. The sent ones are never said to be sent forth by the Father. He was sent forth by the Father. You and I are sent forth by the Lord Jesus. Christ, the apostle of the Father, but the disciples and every believer become the sent ones of Jesus Christ. And Christ becomes our sending authority. He becomes the sharer in our ministry. Matthew 28, following his resurrection, it's what is commonly called the Great Commission. Some of us may choose another portion of Scripture as the Great Commission, but certainly it's the commission. He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." And our Lord in that scene in the upper room as he washed the disciples' feet, it's recorded, knowing that the Father had committed all things into his hands. And you and I are sent forth under his authority. Have you ever considered what might happen if every believer in an assembly could with utter obedience and yieldedness believe and practice this? And then multiply that to the body of Christ. If every believer would really believe that the Lord Jesus has sent him or her and practice this commission which he has given to us, what would take place in this world? As we're here in this delightful fellowship this morning, there are 6,445 languages in the world. Not dialects, languages. The international book, the Digest of the Languages of the World, lists that many languages. In 3,400 of those languages, there is no portion of the Word of God. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if men and women of those 3,400 languages are to know of Christ and believe, because we are born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, if they are to believe, then something must take place in the hearts and lives of those who are the sent ones. Verse 15 again, he said, "I pray not that you should take them out of the world." But instead he said, "I send you into the world." And how important, just as the Father sent him, so he sends us. And I believe, beloved, that we are sent and qualified for the task which he's given. We're left in the world as sheep among wolves. But he has not left us unqualified to carry out this mission upon which we're set. No, the blessed Holy Spirit is here. And he indwells us today. Three times in the Gospel of John it's recorded that our Lord appeared unto his own following his resurrection and said, that is said three times to them, "Peace be unto you." There is one of those occasions recorded for us in the 20th chapter, verse 21. Verse 20, when he had said this, that is, when he had said, peace be with you, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And this was the occasion when Thomas was not there. So Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. G. Campbell Morgan, who said that he felt that when the Lord Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I send you, and he had his hands extended. And those hands bore the marks of the nails. They were his insignia of authority. They spoke of the way of the cross, for he showed them his hands and his side and said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Christ was not sent into the world alone. Look again, please, to the 14th chapter of John. There's this truth in the 6th. We've read some of the verses from there. But in John 14, verse 10, our Lord said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for sake of the works themselves. And even as the Father was in him and he was in the Father, so we are in Christ and he is in us. That's the truth of the vine in John 15. The life of the vine is in the branch. And God has not sent us into the world alone, nor has our Lord sent us into the world alone. Not only has he promised to help us, but beyond that, he's promised that in this union with him, his very life flows through us. I love that scene in Joshua, where Joshua's out walking around the city at night, the city of Jericho. He's on a sort of survey trip, and all of a sudden, he is confronted by a supernatural being. You learned later in Joshua that that supernatural being was the Lord himself. And this supernatural being had a drawn sword. And Joshua asked the question, are you for us or against us? Now, what kind of answer would you suspect should come with a question like that? Are you for us or against us? And the supernatural being responded, no. That is a strange answer. For or against us? No. But as captain of the Lord's host am I now come. In other words, he was saying to Joshua, I've not come to take your part, not for you or against you. I've come to take your place. Joshua thought that he was in command. Captain of the Lord's host said, no, I've not come to bolster you, to prop you up, to give you a little help. I've come to take your place. And beloved, this is an encouraging truth to my own heart this morning. That as you and I are sent forth by the Lord Jesus, he is not along just to help us and to prop us up and to bolster us and to give us a little strength. He's here by His Holy Spirit to live His life through us. Not only to take our part, but to take our place. It is Christ who lives in us by His Holy Spirit. Why, the Son was sent forth by the Father. But you hear the words of the Lord Jesus in the 5th chapter of John, verse 19. The Son can do nothing of Himself. And again in the 30th verse of that same chapter, I can of mine own self do nothing. He had voluntarily laid aside His glory. And in His sinless, perfect humanity, He was dependent upon the Father. And if this was true of our Lord, and it was, how much more so it should be true of us, that we should be utterly dependent upon the Lord Jesus. John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And this we must learn every day. It's only as our work is done in the energy of the risen Christ through His Holy Spirit, only then can the work be acceptable to God. And the indwelling Father was the secret of His life. And the indwelling Christ by His Holy Spirit must be the center and power of the believer's life. It was the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. You read about it in the 7th chapter of John. It was one of three feasts that required every male in Israel to come to Jerusalem. And that city was crowded. Josephus, in his history, says that at the time of those three festivals, those three feasts, the population of the city of Jerusalem was swelled some 2 million beyond its regular size. I don't know if that is accurate or not. That's what Josephus wrote. But the city was filled with people. And the outer court of the temple was filled. It was called the court of the Gentiles. And that court was filled with people. And a custom had developed, really a tradition of men, had been added to the feast. The priests would go in and get the golden vessels out of the temple and go down the hill to the pool of Siloam and fill those vessels with water and come up and pour out that water on the court of the temple, pour it out as an oblation in front of all of those people. I personally believe that it was at this point in the celebration, when the priest had poured out that water, a meaningless ceremony, and the people were turning to go away, that a young man stood in the crowd and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he who believes in me, out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water." And the next verse in John 7 says, "But this spoke he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And this is the source of our power, beloved, that as we are sent by the Lord Jesus into this world, there are to be rivers of living water flowing from us. This is the flow of the Spirit of God through us. Two questions. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? And you say, "Yes, praise God, I have." Second question, are the rivers flowing? He said, he who believes on me, out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. We have been sent into the world. We must follow the course of the sent one, which included the cross, not alone his destination. We need to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ and the empty tomb, and then back to heaven. But in one respect, that was not his destination. Comes the knock at the door. You hear the words of our Lord, if any man open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us in every one of us today. He, the Spirit, dwells, and he's there to make real through you and me the resurrection life of our Lord. Our Lord prayed to the Father and said, as you sent me into the world, so also I have sent them into the world. Ye shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We are his sent ones. Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we have been commissioned by our risen Lord. We ask that we may be obedient to that commission. Thank you today that we do not go forth at our own charge. We have been sent. I pray that our hearts and lives may respond to the word of our Lord, and that today we may be engaged in fulfilling this commission, since our Lord has sent us into the world. This we ask in his name and for his glory. Amen.